All right, so are you ready for this? Today, we're going to take a deep dive into something, honestly, something I never really expected we'd be talking about children's books.
Oh, yeah.
But
Interesting.
not the kind you're probably thinking of, though.
No, not the, fluffy bunnies and,
Yeah,
ducks. What?
exactly. So what's fascinating here is the goal. They're aiming to teach toddlers complex economic and political concepts. I was talking about the Tuttle Toddlers series, and their website claims to make even things like quantitative easing, it's accessible to like 2-year-olds.
Quantitative easing for toddlers.
Yeah, I know, right? So I was looking at the website, and they list these combo packs and individual book titles like The ABCs of Liberty and M is for Markets. It's all very bright and colorful, definitely designed to appeal to little ones. Are they really absorbing this stuff? I mean, like, as a parent, are you really thinking that your toddler is going to get quantitative easing?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, early childhood is a time of, just rapid brain development. And I mean, introducing these concepts at such a young age, it could have a lasting impact for sure. It's shaping their understanding of the world right from the very beginning.
And their website really plays up this whole idea of shaping worldviews. They have this section called What Families Are Saying. And one parent raves about their 3-year-old educating friends and teachers about the Articles of
Well,
Confederation.
Articles of
I
Confederation.
mean, come on. Is that even possible?
It does seem a bit far-fetched, I think. While toddlers are incredibly capable of learning, I think it's more likely they're picking up on, key words and phrases without truly grasping those underlying concepts. The bigger question to me is, whether this simplification, even if it's well-intentioned, might lead to a skewed or incomplete understanding down the line.
Okay, that's a really good point. And then there's this whole emphasis on empowering parents. The website uses language like confident in their knowledge and ready to teach their children. It seems like they're really targeting parents who want to pass down specific values.
Oh, absolutely. It's almost like they're saying, here are the tools to ensure your children inherit your political and economic beliefs. It raises some interesting questions about the role of these books in shaping family conversations and potentially even, reinforcing certain
So
ideologies.
we've got toddlers potentially, spouting off about quantitative easing and parents feeling empowered to teach them about free markets. But let's look at the specific topics they cover. Economics, the Bill of Rights innovation, even the American Revolution. It's a pretty diverse range, but are they missing anything?
That's where things get interesting, because by focusing on specific historical events and economic principles, they're presenting a particular narrative. The choice of what to include and what to leave out is inherently selective. And it's worth considering whether certain perspectives or historical interpretations are being privileged over others. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's easy to gloss over the complexities when you're trying to make it digestible for a toddler.
Like they're curating a specific worldview, even if subtly. Like, take, for example, the concept of the American Revolution. Are they presenting all sides of the story? Or is it a simplified, possibly romanticized version of events?
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's easy to gloss over the complexities when you're trying to make it, digestible for a toddler. But even if they're not grasping the full picture, the website mentions these vibrant illustrations and how they appeal to older siblings, too. Could that visual element be impactful, even without full comprehension?
Visual learning is incredibly powerful, especially for young children. I mean, those images can stick with them, creating lasting associations, even if the details of the text are fuzzy. It's like how we all remember certain picture books from our childhood, even if we can't recall the exact storyline.
So you've got the vivid visuals potentially shaping their understanding. Plus, the older siblings getting involved. It almost becomes this family affair with everyone learning together. Could that actually reinforce the messages even more?
Absolutely. Imagine a scenario where an older sibling is excitedly explaining free markets to their younger brother or sister. They're not just passively absorbing information, they're actively engaging with the concepts and reinforcing them within the family dynamic. It creates a shared experience that can be quite powerful.
Okay, so we've got potential for early influence, simplification of complex topics, visual learning, and family reinforcement. Makes you wonder, are there any potential downsides to this approach? Could introducing these concepts so early actually backfire in some way?
That's a really important question to consider, I think. One potential downside is that it could limit a child's ability to think critically about these issues later on. If they've been presented with a particular narrative from a very young age, it might be harder for them to challenge those assumptions or consider alternative perspectives as they grow older.
So instead of fostering open-mindedness, it could potentially lead to more rigid thinking. That's definitely something parents and educators should be aware of. But the website frames it as empowering parents, giving them the tools to raise informed, engaged citizens. Isn't that a good thing?
It certainly depends on your definition of informed and engaged. The concern is that this approach might prioritize indoctrination over genuine education. Instead of encouraging children to explore different ideas and form their own opinions, it might inadvertently limit their intellectual curiosity and critical thinking skills.
Okay, that's a pretty heavy thought. So on the one hand, we have potential for early learning and family bonding. But on the other, there's the risk of simplification bias and potentially hindering critical thinking down the line. It seems like there's a fine line to walk here.
Exactly. And that's why it's crucial to have these conversations. We need to be aware of the potential impact of these early learning materials, both positive and negative. It's not about condemning the approach outright, but rather encouraging thoughtful consideration of the messages being conveyed and the potential long-term consequences.
So what you're saying is even with something as seemingly innocent as children's books, we need to be critical consumers and think about the bigger picture.
Absolutely. It's about asking questions like, what values are being promoted? Are all sides of the story being presented? Are we encouraging open-mindedness and critical thinking, or are we inadvertently shaping worldviews in a particular direction? These are questions that parents, educators, and really anyone concerned with the development of young minds should be asking.
Okay, so we've really dug deep into these Tuttle Toddlers books. We've talked about the potential benefits like early exposure to complex ideas and creating those fun learning moments for families. But we've also uncovered some potential concerns like oversimplification and the possibility of shaping young minds towards specific viewpoints without them even realizing it.
Exactly. And that's what makes this topic so fascinating and important. You know, we often think of children's books as harmless fun, but they can carry a lot of weight, especially in those early formative years. It's like planting a seed. You know, what we expose them to early on can have a significant influence on how they grow and develop.
So it's less about saying these books are good or bad, and more about being aware of their potential impact and having those critical conversations about what we're teaching our children right.
Precisely. It's about empowering parents and educators to make informed choices about the materials they use and the messages they convey. We should be encouraging children to be curious, to question, to explore different perspectives, not just accepting information at face value, even if it comes in a brightly colored package.
So as a parent or caregiver, what can you do? How can you ensure you're fostering that critical thinking and not just feeding kids a specific narrative?
Well, it starts with being aware of your own biases and the messages you might be unconsciously passing on. Ask yourself, what values do I want to instill in my children? Are these books reflecting those values in a balanced and nuanced way? And most importantly, encourage dialogue. Talk to your children about what they're reading. Ask them questions. Help them to think critically about the information they're being presented.
That's such a great point. It's not about shielding kids from different ideas, but equipping them with the tools to analyze and evaluate those ideas for themselves.
Absolutely. We want to raise a generation of thinkers, not just followers. And that means encouraging them to question, to challenge, and to form their own opinions based on careful consideration and open-minded exploration.
Okay, so to wrap this up, what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
Here's what I'd say. Don't underestimate the power of early childhood education, even when it comes in the form of seemingly simple children's books. Be mindful of the messages being conveyed, engage in thoughtful conversations, and empower children to be critical thinkers from a young age. That's how we cultivate a future where individuals can navigate the complexities of the world with open minds and a thirst for knowledge.